WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by ZipRecruiter.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. The search for some 170 people missing in catastrophic Central Texas flooding stretches for at least 8 miles on either side of the Guadalupe River. Fredericksburg Fire Marshal Reagan Rapke.
When I say piles, we're talking about debris piles 20, 30 feet high that are big enough to have a whole RV still in them and not be seen.
CBS's Karen Hua in Kerrville.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott says they will not stop until they find every missing person. We still hear helicopters going ahead of us very regularly every day. We still see boat crews. They're searching by drone, canine crews, ATVs, mules. Even NASA has given us 2 aircraft with sensory technology to help in this search.
Palestinian activist Mahmoud Khalil, who spent more than 3 months in ICE detention for his role in campus protests against Israel, is seeking $20 million in damages from the Trump administration. He says an audio provided by his family.
They tried something. It failed. But still, the harm is already there. So unless they feel that there is some sort of accountability for that, they would continue to go unchecked.
A federal judge in New Hampshire issues an injunction against President Trump's executive order to end birthright citizenship. The judge has also certified a class action lawsuit, an option the Supreme Court gave when it recently decided that federal judges could not issue nationwide orders. Murad Awada of the New York Immigration Coalition.
Now is the time for the Supreme Court to uphold the law and illustrate to the country that they are not in the pocket of this anti-immigrant, anti-American federal administration.
A White House spokesman calls the decision an unlawful attempt to circumvent the Supreme Court's clear order. 15 Palestinians, including 9 children and 4 women, have been killed while waiting in line for food aid in Gaza. UNICEF spokesman Joe English.
We're not asking for any new laws. We are just asking for humanitarians to be protected as is required under international humanitarian law.
President Trump is reflecting on the assassination attempt in Butler, Pennsylvania, 1 year ago.
The president called it a bad day.
I got whacked. There's no question about that.
In an interview to be aired this weekend on Fox News, Trump sat down with his daughter-in-law, Lara Trump.
I think they shot 8 bullets, and one got me, and one got another one, and one got another one, and one killed Corey, the firefighter.
The president also praised the sniper who took out the shooter.
Our sniper, within less than 5 seconds, was able to get him from a long distance with one shot.
Saying if he didn't do that, it would have been an even worse situation. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, the White House.
This is CBS News.
Are you looking to hire? ZipRecruiter finds the best candidate for your job fast. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Brewers dominated the Dodgers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a night off after a dramatic 3-2 win over the Dodgers in extra innings, over 33,000 fans in the stands. Milwaukee with great pitching this week from Peralta, Mizorowski, and Jose Quintana to complete the sweep, manager Pat Murphy.
Quintana just stepped up. He wasn't going to be outdone by anyone. Gave us 6 innings, 2 hits or something like that. And the whole bullpen with McGill, Uribe, Koenig, Anderson, Mears, Ashby.
The Brewers closer Trevor McGill found out he's headed to the All-Star game next week. I asked Dodgers manager Dave Roberts what he thought the Brewers are doing best.
It's a team that play defense really well. Offensively, they just create havoc. They steal, they bunt, they hit and run, they don't strike out much. You know, there's going to be balls in play. Pat does a good job with the roster as far as trying to maximize and create offense, you know, with that ball club.
That's Dodgers manager Dave Roberts with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Actor Mark Ruffalo has taken shots at podcaster Joe Rogan, insinuating that Rogan is late to the game with his ICE raid outrage. The Kenosha-born Ruffalo said it's a little late now to pretend like Project 2025 didn't exist and wasn't the playbook all along, saying about Rogan, you are either not that smart or not that dumb. It's hard to tell at this point. Ruffalo has a host of projects set to drop in the coming months, and despite a solid performance as always, is still probably trying to forget he was part of Mickey 17. AMC Theaters recently recently announced they would play more commercials before movies to help offset a budget deficit. That's probably not something most moviegoers wanted to hear, but in a move in the other direction, beginning July 8th, the movie chain will offer 50% off tickets on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. The chain has also announced they will offer discount popcorn and soda on those days. This will allow the movie-going public to save a few bucks while still trying to add a few extra pounds. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, warm, and muggy tonight and tomorrow with occasional showers and thunderstorms. Low tonight, mid-60s. High tomorrow, low 80s. A storm or two still possible Saturday, then drying out for the weekend with a drop in humidity. It's 69 degrees right now.
Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, I'm joined by former U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Wisconsin, Jim Santel. We discuss the big takeaways from the United States Supreme Court's last term. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Full Falls Radio, WXCO.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
Hey, Kariki. To all my friends and relatives, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pallet. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, we have our friend Ruth Ann Buffalo on, and I want to say a big ahoo to Ruth Ann. Thank you so much for being on. CEO of Minnesota Indian Resource Center here in the Twin Cities. Thank you again for being on.
Yeah, Doksha, hello, and Matsugidads. Thank you for having us.
Right on. Hey, I just missed checking in last week with you and what's going on, and I'm wondering if you could give us an update of what's happening at Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center.
Sure. Tomorrow we have our summer market, so we're pretty excited. It is all day tomorrow. Stop by in the community room, the gym, and check out all of the vendors and artists and all of the crafts that will be here on site, free of charge. And we're also having an egg roll sale and a walking taco sale, and all proceeds will go to support the Red Bear youth basketball team.
Wow, that's great. I'd like to bring up all the good things that you guys do there. Can you give our listening audience who maybe have never listened to my show, talk about the great work and how people around Turtle Island can support you, and also talk good things about this organization, which I know has been around for 40 years and has done such outstanding work. And still keeps it up, and all the things that you have going on, if you don't mind, bring those up to our listening audience.
Sure. Yeah. Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. We serve American Indian women and their families. We offer a comprehensive approach in providing support in a number of ways to individuals, families, and the community. Everything from a drop-in center to a meal program to learning center to gender-based violence support, housing support, and family services. So we're super proud of our staff and super proud to be serving the community.
Yeah, and we're super proud here on Native Roots Radio to just be a part of a small part of your work and trying to amplify the good things that you do. Ruth Anna, and we've had a kind of a long relationship. You know, you've been on the show for quite a few years, and I just really appreciate you and all the good energy that comes from you and that bleeds into the organization that you're leading. There's such great people, and we've had a few guests on over the past few weeks, and it's just been mind-blowing how dedicated your staff is.
Yes, I am super proud of our staff and thankful. We have a lot of big-hearted community members here that are a part of the team and really give selflessly and really care about each and every person that comes through our doors. We opened our doors this past winter to help with the emergency warming center, and things sort of bloomed and grew from there. And we're trying to do our part as community members to make sure we are fulfilling our responsibilities and helping to be a good relative to each other.
Oh, you definitely are. And the exciting news is, can you remind me when the grand opening of the new units are going to be upstairs? That is so exciting. And talk a little bit about that, because again, you know, we have unhoused relatives and people that are in need in our community that Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center is really picking up a lot of the slack.
Thank you. Yes, and this work, you know, has been ongoing over the years, and so we're just happy to try to push and carry things forward. So we are on target to have 6 of the tenant units upstairs occupied by August 22nd. So that is right around the corner next month. And Corey Basler is our housing coordinator. He's been very dynamic and helping, you know, all of us get ready for next month. And it's a big deal to have finally our tenant spaces, you know, occupied upstairs. They look beautiful. It's been quite the process, and watching the entire top 2 floors be vacated and then completely demolished and gutted with new electrical, new plumbing, everything brand new. So it'll be 24 units, 20 of which will be efficiencies and 4 will be single units for disabilities. So that'll be 12 on each floor. So a change from 7 and 7 on each floor previously.
That's really great. And also, I think last time you said this, now help me with my memory, because you know I'm getting old. I'm a junior elder, but I still feel like I'm getting old. Is that it'll be furnished too for our relatives?
Yes, that is correct, with all of the amenities. I always get that confused. I don't know why I think of like a different word, like a biology word, but it must be that. Old biology major. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. But amenities. I was getting that word mixed up for the longest time. But yes, they will be furnished, and they are beautiful apartments, you know, units. We're told that they are actually even bigger than what is on the market in the area. And a lot of natural lighting, large windows. So very nice.
And it's a place to heal, to get better, to maybe rejoin the community, or maybe people have just run on some rough times, and I just feel like that is such a great work that Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center does.
For sure, and that's exactly it. Is we want to be a place where people come to get nurtured, get loved up, you know, get back on their healing path or on a new path forward. And so it's very beautiful, and very, we recognize the importance and, you know, of taking care of one another and handling, you know, all of it with care and love, you know, so we're super thankful to be able to help the community in this way. And we look forward to many more years in serving the community.
Well, I always like to ask this too, especially to leaders like yourself that are boots on the ground, is what do you do to take care of Ruth Anna Buffalo, and what does your staff do? I know there's a lot of things for our community. Do you participate, or I know you play a little basketball there, and I know that's, and you have a great family. So what do you do personally, and what does the organization do to keep their self-grounded in a good way?
For sure. You know, I just went home back to Mandaree over the weekend, and it was very nice to be back, you know, at my mom's house and sleep underneath her roof and eat her cooking and her biscuits. So definitely I would say laughter is one of the common themes that we do here at MIWRC, whether it's playing jokes on one another or pranks or eating. You know, we love to eat, you know, come together and share a meal. And so I guess we're all foodies and we love to laugh and joke. But yeah, I also like to swim. I love to swim. And it was fun this past weekend hanging out with the family and seeing my little twin nephews whose birthdays are today. They turned 7. So happy birthday, Colin and Colton. And yeah, they're really good little swimmers. So I'm pretty proud of them.
So there's only 30 seconds left, but I got to ask you this. Do you do the cold weather swimming too that I know a lot of native people do?
I'm interested. I'm very interested. I was introduced recently to the cold plunge or the thermoculture polar place on West Lake Street where you do sauna and cold plunge, and pretty cool. Pretty beneficial to your health as well.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for stopping in and checking back into our community here on Native Roots Radio. You're a big part of it. And again, a big peeny geegy. Thank you, Ruth Anna Buffalo, CEO of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. Big peeny geegy. Thank you.
Matsugadats.
Rudy Luther Toyota has a great way for you to purchase your next vehicle. It's the Toyota Smart Path. You can shop at the dealership or on your couch. Shop smarter by saving time, and remember, they'll have the best prices and no surprises. You can browse the available vehicles, use the Smart Path payment estimator to customize your own payments, apply for financing, and then finalize your purchase. Smart Path is the smartest path to your new vehicle. Check it out online at rudyluthertoyota.com or stop by Rudy Luther Toyota, 5 miles west of Minneapolis on 394.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Your heart beats for generations. Take care of it.
There's a lot that we can do to take care of ourselves. And so I think it's important to take the smaller steps and break it down into more manageable pieces, because the little steps leads to big changes.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. For Indigenous women, taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Let's protect that story. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats.
Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of Indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NACD. Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NACD.org.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we have our friend Robert Lilligren on, and really good to see you again twice in one day. I feel totally blessed, and it's great to see you, and it was great being on the Avenue today.
Yeah, bonjour, Robert. It was great to see you at Four Sisters Farmers Market today. It was a good day in the market.
Yeah, definitely. And there was a great presentation, and there was a lot of people watching. I took a few pictures of that. And then we had a chance to have the drink that she was making too, and it was really good.
Yeah, I couldn't stand this. So Simone Rendon was doing the demonstration, yeah. To do a daughter of the author Marcy Rendon. I think that's kind of cool. Marcy's up at the market with Simone. Mm-hmm. And she did a demonstration, and so I'm glad you were able to taste it. I had to run inside for a meeting, Then we had a professional videographer there today doing some shots and things. And it just, it's so cool to think of when the market started. It was, I think, three vendors, three tents, you know, a parking lot across the street. And now it's what it is, which is like an event. It's kind of the place to see and be seen on the American Indian Corridor.
Absolutely. And the food truck was out there, and I got to finally take a few pictures of the great art on the Powwow Grounds food truck, which is so inspiring and such a and it's funny too, it's yellow too, just like the building. I just realized that.
Oh yeah, I know, that's intentional, I'm sure. Robert Rice, who owns Powwow Grounds Coffee Shop, is the proprietor of the Brybed Factory food truck, and he just got it wrapped recently, and the community's super excited about that. And it is yellow like the building, like our building. And then he has honored a lot of our ancestors, our departed leadership, in art on the side, on one side. The other side has dancers, powwow dancers, and it's just really striking.
You know, it's funny too. I recognize a few of the people for sure, and I know two of them, Frank, the late Frank Perro, and the late Clyde Belcourt, hung out at the coffee shop pretty often.
All the time. A lot of those AIM guys did. And so it's nice to honor them. Frank's wife, Dawn Perro, is often there. And she's made comments about, I think Frank never realized he'd be on the side of a food truck. You know, it's a cool way of honoring people.
Yeah, it really, really is. And I always loved the great vibe there. I got to see a few friends, and also, you know, get to see, being a former high school teacher, I always run into a few people were former students. But I also, too, run into, every time, it's funny, I run into people that that listen to the show. So it's like right on.
People like to listen. Oh, from one of the vendors today, I picked up a new choker. It's gorgeous, perfect colors for me. And I like this length. It's a little shorter. I have another one like this that was gifted to me that it just fits. You know, I have to wear a lot of, you know, dress shirts or, you know, and jackets and things. And that's just a really good length to go under that. So that's exciting.
Yeah, that's great. I like that for me. Oh, wow.
We're here, I give it to you.
That's a tradition's kind of gotten watered down over the years, and we can talk about that for a second, but everyone seems to say, well, that was a gift. And so when somebody gives something, you can't gift it to somebody else. Right. Oh, wow.
Right.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, it's nobody on the air saw that, but the people that watch us on Facebook, and it's probably good to mention that we are on Facebook, YouTube, Blue Sky, and that you can watch us too, and laugh at my hairdo and my receding hairline and things like that. But it's always good for me, because since COVID, for sure, Robert, we haven't had guests in the studio, and this has been just a great way and an easy way to converse to relatives all over Turtle Island.
I love it. Yeah, I love it. And just how we've adapted, right, since COVID. Mm-hmm. Before COVID, you know, I had some online meetings, was part of national conversations and stuff. But then with COVID, of course, we've been 100% remote, and we just got so used to being online and seeing each other in little boxes, like I'm looking at you right now, and so now it's just about a third to half of my day today was in online meetings, with a fair amount of in-person stuff, which is always nice. And you can get so much done. Your guest earlier, Ruth Buffalo, was in probably three online meetings with her today, maybe four, you know. So yeah, that's kind of the risk of doing online meetings, is you can have so many of them because you don't have to travel in between them.
You know, it was great listening to Ruth Anna Buffalo. The last segment is, I always try to do this too, especially people that are intensely boots on the ground like yourself and her, is what do you do to protect your soul and rejuvenate and take care of your personal. And she said swimming, which I thought was great, because I know she plays basketball from the old days. And so, Robert, What do you do?
So first off, with Ruth Buffalo, she is quite an athlete, and she's very strong, and she's very competitive, I understand. I haven't competed with her. So one of my practices that I learned early on in my elected life when I was on the Minneapolis City Council was I am very deliberate about understanding myself in my role, my public role, and then really separating that from my sort of self, my private self. And, you know, I was taught at Kennedy School to be deliberate about it, to be ritual, almost ritualistic, right? And so that I'm clear when I'm being in my role and, you know, the public stuff that I do, and when I'm being myself, my private stuff. And I know it sounds kind of goofy and maybe a little mystical, but it's, I think, really protected me through this, you know, sometimes bumpy or whatever, turbulent kind of public life, elected life, things like that. And so for me, it's clothes, right? So when I'm going out to be Robert Lilligren, the city council member, Met council member, or CEO, you know, it's what I put on. And then when I come home, I put on what I think of as my play clothes, right? From when we were kids. And mm-hmm. then I'm home. I'm me, right? And sometimes those have to blend, but it's a good survival technique for me to really be clear when I'm public Robert and when I'm private.
That's funny. A couple things. Wendy introduced me 20 some years ago to loungewear, and that's what I'm wearing right now. And also, I have to be careful, Robert, because COVID did something. You know, when I was a high school teacher, I showered and shaved every day, and now it's sometimes 2 or 3 days I kind of forget that. Oh, wow.
Yeah, thanks for the warning there, Robert. Yeah. That is it's funny. My husband had just retired maybe, 2 months ago now? Yeah. We were just talking about that this morning and the importance of committing to a hygiene regimen when he's retired. Otherwise, no one's going to want to hang out around you.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, too, because it's kind of stupid. But I work out in the morning, and then, of course, I don't want to shower before that. And then all of a sudden, I just push it off. And next thing you know, 2 days have gone by, my hair's greasy, I'm greasy, and... I better take a shower no matter what.
Right. Yeah. Right. And online, who really cares? I remember when we first started working remotely, I think I had 14 different online meeting apps on my work computer here, my laptop. Oh. I think it was 14. And they would kind of interfere with each other and things would get complicated. So now I'm down to very few. You know, I have the, of course, Zoom, everyone has it, Teams, everyone has it, occasionally a Google Meet, and then the StreamYard here, and that's about it. But yeah, it was a new world back then.
Yeah.
And you only had to dress, you know, appropriately. It was waist up, something, you know, presentable, waist down sweats, right?
Well, it was interesting, too. I don't know if you saw this, but years ago, and I think it was right in the middle of COVID, there was a person who had a cat app on, and he was in court and he couldn't get it off. And that just popped up on my feed again.
That was hilarious. Lots of good memes came out of that era.
Yeah. And my former producer, Ogama, gave me a cup, too, that says you're on mute, so I could show that to the people that were on. But that's, you know, heck, now I'm on mute more than than the guests.
I only did one big off mute blunder during that whole era. I think that's pretty good.
Oh, do tell.
What's that?
Tell.
I was in a group meeting and something was said that surprised me. And so I thought I was off mute and I turned to my husband, Steve, and I said, yes, person X just dumped all over me or something like that. And which, you know, isn't that unusual when you're in leadership and stuff, but I wouldn't have said it to the whole group.
Right.
The facilitators are being said, I'm sorry, what? Did someone say something?
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Met and Air on Air. CBS News Brief. In Central Texas, after flash flooding that has killed at least 121 people with more than 170 others unaccounted for, Fredericksburg Fire Marshal Reagan Rabke says,
with the 300 responders that we have working on the river today, they are going methodically from pile to pile and going through it to try to find everybody's loved ones.
Debris piles up to 30 feet high. Mahmoud Khalil's lawyers file a claim for $20 million in damages against the Trump administration, alleging that he was falsely imprisoned by ICE. The campus protester says an audio provided by his family.
I'm fighting for a better world for my son and for everyone. That's why I will continue to do that.
A federal judge in New Hampshire pauses President Trump's birthright citizenship order granting class action certification. Loyola Law School professor Lori Levinson.
It's a pretty clear indication that the courts continue to think that President Trump violated the Constitution.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Brewers dominated the Dodgers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a night off after a dramatic 3-2 win over the Dodgers in extra innings, over 33,000 fans in the stands. Milwaukee with great pitching this week from Peralta, Mizorowski, and Jose Quintana. To complete the sweep, manager Pat Murphy.
Quintana just stepped up. He wasn't going to be outdone by anyone. Gave us 6 innings, 2 hits or something like that. And the whole bullpen with McGill, Uribe, Koenig, Anderson, Mears, Ashby.
The Brewers closer Trevor McGill found out he's headed to the All-Star game next week. I asked Dodgers manager Dave Roberts what he thought the Brewers are doing best.
It's a team that play defense really well. Offensively, they just create havoc. They steal, they bunt, they hit and run, they don't strike out much. You know, there's going to be balls in play. Pat does a good job with the roster as far as trying to maximize and create offense, you know, with that ball club.
That's Dodgers manager Dave Roberts with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Mariska Hargitay has experienced an almost unprecedented run as an actor on the show Law & Order Special Victims Unit. And now she has a director's credit as well. She is the creative force behind a documentary about her late mother, Jane Mansfield, called My Mom Jane. The Hollywood Reporter is now saying the documentary will be eligible for the Oscars since it's been revealed that it had a short theatrical run at a North Hollywood movie theater last week. My Mom Jane is available to stream on HBO and is getting very good reviews. Sarah Jessica Parker feels she had to defend herself for not endorsing a political candidate publicly. The And Just Like That and Sex and the City star told Nicole Wallace on her podcast she didn't believe social media was the place for quick political conversations. To her credit, Parker says she's not going to go into an argument unless she is totally educated on an issue. Imagine that. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, warm, and muggy tonight and tomorrow with occasional showers and thunderstorms. Low tonight, mid-60s. High tomorrow, low 80s. A storm or two still possible Saturday, then drying out for the weekend with a drop in humidity. It's 67 right now.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Years ago, I had a rainbow. No, it was a shirt. It was given to me, and I wore it because I support all people. And a friend of mine, you sure you want to walk around in that? You know, a t-shirt, people might think. I'm like, people might think I'm a human being that supports other human beings. I wear sports jerseys sometimes. No one ever says, are you worried people are going to think you're on the Cubs?
I don't think anyone would think that, though.
Oh, you haven't seen my curveball.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big brutal bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, doing some recombobulating, an extended session with Dan Schaefer, who joins us at 9:30. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Aho!
this is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka Hicha Wicha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. I'm here with Robert Lilligren, CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, and pretty based on the Franklin Avenue Native Corridor and all the great work that's happening. Now, I want to switch gears here a little bit. And I don't know, it's been a few days and, you know, we get into this 24-hour news cycle. And we've talked about it since Monday about Ann Coulter and her comments about we should have killed more Indians. Your thoughts, and or do you even want to comment on that?
It's so foul, and I'm not going to say her name because I don't want to advance her whatever profile. But you know, it's shocking. It's disgusting. It's so not what a decent person says. And so in today's biggest daily here in the Twin Cities, the Minnesota Star Tribune, they there was an op-ed piece by Anton Troyer about it. And you know, that's what it is. And he's very smart and learned. And I don't read the comments at the Star Tribune anymore since I was in public office, because they're just, they're so foul, right? So I don't read them. But one of my staff was saying, What really bugged them was how many people agreed with the commenter, right? And I mean, that's what's so scary about these times we're living in. I mean, these feelings were always there, but decency kind of kept them a little more submerged. And now people feel that they have free rein to be as disgustingly racist as they want to be.
Yeah, a really good point. And I believe that, it's really come from the top down. And I bring this up all the time, but I remember when the first time around that the orange one was president, there were red hats going on that said, make racists afraid again. And it's the opposite right now. And you're kind of alluding to carte blanche of being able to say anything mean to anyone that they've been feeling the whole time, and feeling slighted and attacking people, and a lot of times vulnerable people.
Right. And then these comments and these statements that come from high profile leadership, like our current president, empower people, right? They empower people to act. And when you have a sitting president doing a speech, I think it was in Iowa this week, wasn't it? Where he said, I hate Democrats. I hate them. So first off, the president's supposed to represent everybody in the country, so I don't know where anyone think they could get off saying something like that. But then his audience, who we know, you know, are quick to violence and quick to respond, that gives them permission, right, to act on this hate. And I think it's just a very dangerous way to manipulate power.
Right. And, you know, we have to keep talking about this because, again, you know, sometimes I believe our mainstream media has really normalized things like this, and that we have to talk about how wrong it is and how hurtful it is, and how, you know, the Democratic Party has their problems, but empathy, I don't think, is one of them.
Right, right. And then you have major news platforms or networks that are capitulating to the president, that are settling lawsuits for huge sums of money that they... You know, they would be the ones I would hope would be the defenders of a free press, right? But instead, they're just succumbing.
Yeah. Well, and the sad part two of this week was what happened in Texas. And I truly believe, and it's hard, there's two things that I believe about what happened in Texas with the floods. One is global warming, and two is the cuts that the administration has made to the weather people.
Those two things contribute, and then this kind of cultural unwillingness to invest in safety measures, right? One of the officials on the ground in Texas said, well, the taxpayers wouldn't pay for an alarm system. And I mean, this is why we elect people to do this for us, to do what's right, instead of what the voters care about, or not care about, but their positions. And so I think there was a long time, a lead up to allow for a catastrophe like this. Well, now, as more investigation comes forward, there's a lot of things that were wrong with mm-hmm. the campsite, for example, that people shouldn't have been sleeping where they were. And mm-hmm. and then you have these Republicans saying, oh, this isn't a time to point fingers. This isn't right. a time to assign blame. And say, well, that would be the first thing you would do when there were fires in Los Angeles, right? It was the governor's fault, the mayor's fault, the Biden's fault, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, yes, I guess, you know, what do we say? What's sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander, you know? Somebody should be accountable.
It's interesting too, Robert. They said the same thing whenever there's a mass shooting, that we shouldn't be talking about. Well, when should we? It's fresh in people's mind, and we talk about a 24-hour cycle. I have a question. When you were a city council member, and I just ended my term as a Ho-Chunk legislator. Yeah, I made it through the 4 years, and I got a matter of fact, I should have talked to you today when I saw you, but I might see if I can run again. Somebody is running for Congress. That's a legislator out of a District 1, and I want to see, well, we'll talk off camera here.
All right, let's talk.
But I had a question. When you were city council, when you had to make tough decisions, you didn't worry about the vote or being reelected. You worried about doing the right thing. Isn't that what you were alluding to earlier?
You know, that's exactly right, Robert. And my experience, and I know people have different experiences, but, you know, I would vote in the best interest of the city and the best interest of my constituents. Sometimes it wasn't even with positions that I would necessarily personally agree with. But again, I wasn't just there to represent myself. I was there to represent 33,000 people and as part of a city of, you know, nearly 500,000. But what I learned was that, you know, I would come to decisions, especially controversial ones or difficult ones. You know, I'd be as informed as I can. I would engage with my constituents as much as I could and then get to my decision. And if I could stand in front of my constituents and explain my pathway and my thinking to the vote that I took or the position that I stated, even if people didn't agree with me at the end of the day, they were on some level satisfied, right? Mm-hmm. That I wasn't being arbitrary, that I wasn't representing special interests, that I was being thoughtful. And you know, I really respected constituents, especially when they didn't agree with me, when we could stand there and express our differing opinions and respect them, right? Yeah. And at the end of the day, I was the one with the election certificate on the wall. I was the one that was accountable for those decisions.
Yeah, and I know from my experience, sometimes it's hard. And one of the things that came out on TikTok, and I just want to touch base with this and not really dwell in it, but as you know, some of the nations gave money to Trump's parade, and not the army parade, but the parade that. Yeah, the inaugural parade. Thank you. And my nation did too, and $50,000. And that's a lot of money. But also, I hate to tell you how much we gave the Republicans. The Democrats was way more than that. And you always want to keep your toe in the water because you are going to have to work with these people and you can't shun them. But there's some backlash happening out there, the other tribes that gave a heck of a lot more than Ho-Chunk did, but still it was a hard decision, but it was a political decision.
Right. And so, you know, I'm not the one making that decision and I want to really acknowledge that. And so the tribe has to do what they think is best for the tribe. And there's a certain amount of access or potential access that mm-hmm. a contribution like that can generate. $50,000 is a lot of money. I would say just give it to the people, but you know, that wasn't my choice. And the tribe needs to be accountable to its citizens for doing that. And so I'm sure they deliberated long and hard.
You know,
like you said, it's a lot of money, but it's not a lot of money in the grand scheme, right? A lot of people contributed a lot more. And then to me, there's the contribution, but then there's how the tribe behaves, right?
Right.
Does it still uphold indigenous values? Does it still respect its citizens and its non-citizens and respect people? Or did it just throw the DEI baby out with the bathwater, like so many corporations and other organizations have been willing to do?
Absolutely. Well, and to make that clear, that was my vote. I was one of the people, but I did vote against it, but that it did pass. And the legislature of Ho-Chunk Nation did give the money to Trump, but there's things that you have to do. You like to say to have a door open for your people. And believe you me, I got a few texts and calls yesterday when that was brought up all over TikTok.
In favor of the contribution or in favor of your no vote?
They wanted to know what happened, and I had just told them the situation. I didn't really say, well, I voted no, and the Twin Cities people voted no, and we didn't win because at the time there was 13 legislators voting on it. And it's just hard, and we have to agree that we did this. We can't hide from what we've done.
Right. And those difficult votes, you know, sometimes they are even those opposition votes, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes I had the experience where I was just keeping a door open for the next conversation, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would rarely vote yes just to get along. Almost never. I can remember one kind of interesting vote, but you know, I found that sometimes it's harder to vote no, right? I'd have to be better prepared to defend my position and things. And I remember my first big no vote, and I remember joking, or I wasn't joking, but someone said, oh, you got to go take that vote now, right? And I'm like, yep, I'm going to go down with a yelp, right? I'm not going quietly. So yeah, it's an interesting place to be when you're representing the interests of other people.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, and everyone laughed when I said this, and I said this a lot, and they thought I was a comedian too, somewhat, but I'd say, you know, in a good way, you know, we're doing this in a good way. And I truly believe that our heart is in it for the people, and we need to protect our own people. And well, you know, you're retired, and you also have a lot of people that you mentor in the political realm. So you know how it goes.
I'm retired from elected office, not from work.
Oh, no, you're not. You're never going to retire. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. I got Robert Lilligren with us, Native American Community Development Institute and White Earth Ojibwe citizen. We'll be right back.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Your heart beats for generations.
Your heart is so many things. It beats all the time, and it works very hard to keep you moving through your day, keeping your thoughts clear. It's the most important organ in your body.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. Taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats. That's hennepin.us/heart-beats.
Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The easy all-in-one plan includes personal support, coverage for medical, prescription drugs, and dental, plus many extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal.
Four Sisters are more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NAGDI.
Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NACDI.org.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. I'm with Robert Lilligren, CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities in Minneapolis. And this is our time kind of talk a little more politics here. I'm seeing reports that ICE is around in the Twin Cities, and we need to be alert and aware for our relatives. And, you know, when this first came up, too, the president of Ho-Chunk Nation made sure that we had IDs that were that we could use nationally. He would pay, the nation would pay for what is it called when you go to a different country?
A tribal ID, a passport.
A passport, yes, thank you. And the nation would pay for a passport. So there's things to do, but I just want to tell everyone to be alert, and that this ICE thing and the thing happening in California with the military and all that is just a prelude to what may be happening. So we all have to be really vigilant, Robert.
Right, vigilant for us, for our relatives, for our immigrant friends and relatives. And I was really impressed with how quickly the tribes shifted into getting tribal IDs into their citizens' hands, right? And I was talking to someone not that long ago, a government kind of person, about that, and they were really interested, and they didn't quite make the connection why. And I said, well, a lot of our relatives, our tribal citizens, are pretty dark-skinned, mm-hmm. right? And there's concern that they'll be kind of just swept up with any other brown person. And this person was really surprised, a little incredulous that that would happen. And there was a couple other Native people in this conversation. And I said, well, it's already happening. It's already happening, right? And you're like, really? Really? And it just goes to that kind of invisibility around Native people, Indigenous people, right? That this person, And to that, I wanted to share something with you, Robert, because you were part of this work. And you know, I serve on our regional government. I'm a representative on our Metropolitan Council. And over the last year or so, we've convened our American Indian Advisory Council, of which you've been a participant in a Ho-Chunk rep. It's predominantly Dakota Lakota people. This is Dakota Lakota homeland, right? Specifically in Ho-Chunk representation. You guys just did such excellent work, and work that we continue to fold into our work at Metropolitan Council and implement. And, you know, and one of the things you did, and originally I think this was going to be the ask from this group, but ultimately you came to writing our land, water, and people acknowledgement for the region. And it's really a beautiful one. It's more like an action statement, right? Mm-hmm. We expect you to do this, this, and this to reflect these Indigenous values in your policymaking. And I like that. And one of the things that it acknowledges is that our 7-county metropolitan area here in Minneapolis-St. Paul is home to 150 different tribes.
Yeah.
Different recognized tribes, right? And it was so good to get that number, because I would often say 50 or 100. I didn't know. Now we know.
Right.
150 tribes live here in the Twin Cities. And so that's in our land, water, and people acknowledgement, that number. So a couple of weeks back, I was invited to be part of a roundtable at the American Indian Center here in Minneapolis that was convened by the Federal Reserve, the Minneapolis Federal Reserve. And there are like something like 12 regional Federal Reserve offices, and I think maybe another couple dozen branches. But Minneapolis is unique in that system that we have what's called the Center for Indian Country Development, which is both reservation and tribal development and urban development. And so Kansas City Federal Reserve wanted to convene some urban Indian leadership here and just talk about how development looks here and what's successful, what works, what doesn't. And there were representatives from some other kind of center of the country. Oklahoma City Federal Reserve, I think, was represented and others. And it was just a fascinating dialogue. And And we shared a lot. I mean, we had a lot of the stellar leadership here that works in these areas. And I think these Federal Reserve representatives got more than they bargained for, right? but one of the things they had was a document they had generated that referenced the 50 tribes within Minnesota, right? There's 50 different tribes. And it was funny because then we were talking about Native visibility, Native invisibility, right? Mm-hmm. And I pulled that out as an example out of their own document. And I said, yeah, so through work we've done at Met Council, we've identified 150 different tribes just here in our metropolitan area. And I said, so with your number of 50, you just disappeared 100 tribes.
Right.
So it was a real life example of invisibility, of cultural colonization, elimination. So interestingly, the person who drafted that document was at the table, at this table. And he said, that was me. I published that. He said, now I know better. If you can direct me to this research, we'll correct that. You know, and it's kind of removed from maybe the work you thought you were doing when you serve on the Metropolitan Council, American Indian Advisory Council, but we were impacting federal perspective through that work. So I just want to point that out because it's kind of obscure, but it's very tangible, very real.
Yeah. And I think some of the information we got was from Minneapolis Public Schools that had a lot of that documentation, right?
Yep. That, and, most of the nonprofits here maintain lists of different tribes, and but it's nice to have that 150 number. I use it all the time now. I do all the time.
And I heard too, 75,000 in the Twin Cities Native Americans, and this is the largest, I guess, urban area in the United States now.
Oh, okay, interesting. I haven't seen that, but good to know and good to hear. And the other piece is that we are actually a growing community, right? Mm-hmm. And there's this kind of narrative that we're relegated to history and we're, you know, dying out, diminishing and diminishing population. And that's not a fact. We're a growing population here in this country. As a matter of fact, one of the fastest growing populations.
Wow, that's really cool to hear, because I really believe that there's more of us that's been counted over the years. And I know with the census the last time, there was a big jump in the numbers, because I think a lot of people were more trusty of the government.
Right. Agree. So counting a census is hard. And, you know, you see these commercials on TV for that genetic testing, right? And they sometimes feature someone who learns that they're 26% Native American or 27%. And my husband would say, how could they not know? I mean, look at that person. You can tell they're Native. And I said, well, they're for, you know, their generation or their parents, it was risky to identify as Native. I go, that is not an uncommon story in our community. And I always thought it was interesting that the numbers that they show on those ads are always just over 25%, right?
Yeah.
So they're aware of blood quantum and the issue, data debate and issues around blood quantum, you know. But that's very common for people to not know that they're Native.
Right. Or myself, as you know, I'm an adoptee, and not knowing what tribe or how much and how much I could say, because I wasn't brought up in the community.
Right. Right. And so yeah, it's not an uncommon story. And then these relatives who are just discovering their heritage, you know, they have to find their way back to culture just like we do, right? And so do we help them there, or do we resent them for passing for so long? Or it's a complicated community.
It very much so is. And I appreciate you bringing this up again, and the great work that you do in the Met Council. And I guess
this is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Pete Schwabba.
Friday's show is a replay, but I'll be back live Monday with the group On Stage for Cancer performing in studio, and Madison film critic Rob Thomas talks movies. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Trump is again trying to have it both ways on agricultural workers. He says they're working on, quote, a temporary pass where the farmer can have a little control as opposed to you walk in and take everybody away. He's describing feudalism, where the people who work the land are more under direct control of the landowners rather than the rule of law. He wants the vassals. He wants the lords. He wants the peasants.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio. WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Rescue teams are checking huge debris piles along the Guadalupe River, looking for more than 170 people missing after deadly flooding in central Texas. CBS's Karen Juan.
While officials have not outright come out and declared this a recovery mission, the last known survivor was found 7 days ago.
A federal judge in New Hampshire issues an injunction against President Trump's executive order to end birthright citizenship and certifies a class action lawsuit. CBS News legal contributor Jessica Levinson.
I think there is a good chance that this executive order never goes into effect because it's tied up in litigation.
The four members of SpaceX Crew's 11 mission are targeted to launch late this month or in early August. NASA astronaut Zena Cardman says they've been training since last September.
What that has meant for us is an incredible bond that is rooted in gratitude and resilience.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.